All right, everyone, we would like to get started. So next up, we have a group of physiotherapists who will be talking about physiotherapy students' strengths and areas for improvement on placement, a role for clinical instructors. And again, just make sure your cell phones are off because the sessions are recorded. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Brendan. I have the honor of presenting on behalf of my colleagues, with my colleagues, Kathleen and Sarah, and we're going to be just talking at different points. But first, I wanted to congratulate you for finding the room all the way across the lobby and getting here. We're going to be doing our presentation is really looking at physiotherapy students' areas of strengths and role and improvements, and as a clinical instructor, what your potential role could be. And we have no conflicts of interest. This session is actually not being recorded. It shouldn't be being recorded just because we have ACP data that's being presented, and we're conscious of the sensitivity of the data, so it's not being recorded. So you can only get it here. So our objectives are we want to look at and discuss the progression of students' performance throughout their entry-level practice degree. We're going to look at some common strengths and improvements, and then we're also going to provide some strategies that, as clinical instructors, that you can consider in helping your students improve over their internship trajectory. So thank you, Michael, for doing that wonderful introduction of the ACP. The ACP is the Canadian Performance Assessment Clinical Performance that's used across Canada in all of but two of the programs across Canada. For students in their clinical placements, it's based on the essential competency profile. And this study is just looking at data from McMaster, University of Toronto, and Queen's. And currently, we're using a system called the HSP. It's a web-based system that administers the ACP. Prior to going live with the HSPNet, we were using fillable PDF forms. As clinical instructors, you play an incredibly important role in how individuals progress from physio students on the very first day of the program to entry to practice physiotherapists upon completion of the program. And as a clinical instructor, you play a role in supporting or potentially preventing students' decision-making, their critical thinking, and their self-directed learning. We know that both the clinical instructors and the students value the resources that help prepare them for clinical learning encounters and facilitate engagement with the learner. So the students are really so appreciative of all the opportunities that you can provide them. So the reason why we wanted to look at this is to see if we can find some strategies that will help you better help them along their trajectory. So this is really a pilot study. We'll tell you about our future directions and our future plans, but this is just a pilot study where we wanted to look at the ACP ratings for entry to practice physiotherapy programs for students from three of the Ontario programs and look at their areas of strengths and areas for improvement so that we could, the purpose was really to identify strategies that can be integrated across the clinical practice programs to help the students progress. So we had this great idea, and then we started identifying how are we going to do this. So we figured we would take the first, the middle, and then the last placement ACP data from our three programs, and we tried to go back as much as we had reliable electronic data. So we didn't want to really be entering a lot of hand entering some of the numbers. So this was the fall or winter for our programs from 2015 to 2017. And then we downloaded the data, we cleaned up our data, we took out all the student identifying information, we assigned unique identifiers, and we combined all of our data sets into one massive data set. And then we used SPSS and Excel to do some descriptive statistics. And then we tried to make sense of all of our data. So on here you can see that the three programs when we put everything together, we had a fair bit of data. So we had almost 1,200 ACPs that we analyzed. Some of the students participated depending on when they entered the program and when our cutoffs were. They had multiple ACP entries in our data set. And you'll see here, thank you. She reads my mind already. The middle column in these numbers here, this is for our or how many we had for first placement. So we had about 390 for the first placement, about 450 scores for the middle placement, and then about 300, just under 340 for the last placement. And you'll notice we have some additional numbers here. Criterion 4.2 looks at the physiotherapist student's ability to work with the support personnel. It's the only non-mandatory item on the ACP, so some of those didn't have as many data points, so we just identified that. The good news is 98% of the students of the ACPs that we had in our data set passed their placements. And this number changes. So for the first placement, it was 99%. The middle placement, it was 97%. And then the last placement, it was 99%. And those we identified either clinicians who had made the suggestion as that they were credit with reservation or fail, or the university decided to fail the student, fall into that borderline fail category. And now I'm going to hand it over to Kathleen.
So I'm the Excel geek in the group. So let's just walk through, if you were here for Michael's, then you certainly know the layout of the ACP. So we've got the two, this is the expert role, we've got two for assess, three for analyze, three criteria, three for intervention, and then the communicator role, collaborator, manager, advocate, scholarly practitioner, and professional, which has three again. And the ratings, as Michael said, the bottom anchor is one, top anchor is with distinction. And so these are mean values for a first placement, a middle placement, or a last. We draw your attention to the fact that there's some things that tend to be a little bit lower, there's some things that tend to be higher, higher, lower, higher, and that pattern basically just seems to rise and then starts to flatten out only because it's starting to hit the ceiling, starting to hit the top. So let's look at each of those individually. So now we're back down at just a first placement. So our N here is about 390. The square is the middle, is the mean, and the shaded area is plus or minus one standard deviation. So we decided not to use the confidence interval because they'll overwhelm pretty big. And so what I'm going to layer on now, this is everybody. Now I'm going to layer on the values from the people who were borderline or fail. So they are down there pretty low. And so the different ones, they just happen to be, this different symbols represent four individual trajectories of people. So they are still within two standard deviations, but they're all below the mean. So let's go to the intermediate. So again, we have like 455 to 457 scores, except for the criterion 4.2, where we still have almost 400. So the circle in the middle represents the mean. And then we've got plus or minus one standard deviation. So again, we're seeing this same pattern of, you know, a little lower down here in the expert role. A little higher in communication, high in a couple of the ones in professional as well. Not quite as high through there. Now I'm going to layer on the students who are borderline or fail. And it's partly a function of the fact that we have a bigger data set here, that we have more who are in that borderline or fail. Kind of all over the map. And if you actually track each of the symbols through, you'll realize that, you know, while some people are below one standard deviation below the mean throughout, there are others who have strengths in some areas and weaknesses in others. And I'm stealing the thunder from Sarah, so I'm going to stop it at that. And so if we jump to the final placement, and we decided amongst ourselves we were only going to take what was supposed to be a final placement, even if it did end up being a fail and they had to do another one. So the triangles are the mean value, and the shaded areas are the plus or minus one standard deviation. A little bit cut off here because, in fact, one standard deviation hits the ceiling there. And now I'm going to layer on the people who are borderline or fail. In general, they are struggling in many areas, but not necessarily all of the areas. One example to draw your attention to is the person who has the blue squares, generally, you know, hitting entry level, except having trouble in that one area of expert, the analysis piece. So that one area of analysis, in fact, within that, criterion 1.4 is one of the ones within that area of analysis part of role. The exact criteria is establishes a physiotherapy diagnosis and prognosis. And this is the one that starts off the lowest, stays the lowest, even when it gets close to entry level. So the way to orient you to this graph, the top of the thing, so the upper level of the bar is the 95th percentile, the lower level of the bar is the 5th percentile, and the blue represents a value from a student who was borderline or fail. And because many of those, we didn't use the multiple symbols here, lots of those blue dots are kind of on top of one another. So I think that's the main point to recognize there. In middle, it rises up a little bit. We still have a mix of whether or not people are above or below the mean. None of them are above the 95th percentile. And then here we see the at final, with the people who by final are clearly the, I think there were five in there, there's must be two overlapping who are struggling. And that whereas respects the individuality and autonomy of the client, which is one of the ones under professional, that one tends to rocket up pretty quickly. That most of the people that we admit to our programs are capable of doing this right out of the gate. So I'm going to turn it over to Sarah. These, if you were looking on the app, this is the sensitive stuff that didn't appear. So that's why the next slide, which sort of summarizes that, which does appear in the guide in the app. Yeah.
It's a good thing. Okay, is that okay? Yeah, I just know I can't go past this speaker. We'll have a deafening noise. So let's just go here. So these words are what are in the slides that are available on the slide deck. We won't go into them right now, but essentially it just summarizes everything that Kathleen has shared with the slides. Okay, so once we pulled the data together and made the slides, we put our heads together to think, what's the so what? So what is this data telling us? And what do we need to do with this information in terms of next steps? And I think I do see some students in the room, so I think it's helpful not only for the clinical instructors to hear what suggestions we might have, but also from the student's lens, if you're listening to the presentation, these may be areas that you really want to emphasize when you're out on placement and start to articulate so that you can make sure that your learning is maximized in these areas where we maybe are seeing students tend to struggle overall. So our first point was to encourage the notation of exceptional performance in either direction. So someone can be exceptionally strong in some areas, but maybe struggle in the others. And Kathleen certainly highlighted that with the last student on the last placement with the blue squares that were almost at entry level across the way. And then there was one domain in particular that was a little bit lower. So it would be really important both at midterm and at final, from the clinical instructor and the student's perspective, to say, here are the areas that you're doing very, very well in, and that you maybe don't need to spend as much time working on over the course of the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks of placement, but here's where you really want to focus your energies or your attention to. But also make sure that the program is aware so that we can then start to look over time. Is that student continually struggling in the analysis section, for example? Or was there some analysis challenges in one specific setting or placement area that they then are able to work through as they go forward? So exceptional in our language means both well above or below where you might expect a student learner to be for that point in time of their training. Also, as was highlighted in the graphs, establishing a physiotherapy diagnosis and prognosis was the area in general that students struggled with the most across all placements and over the course of their program. And so what we would like to encourage is fostering opportunities for clinical reasoning while students are out in the clinical environment. So what that would look like is actually modeling through talking out loud. Why are you thinking what you're thinking once you see a patient? How did you move from your subjective into making the decisions around your objective tests to coming up with an impression? Start to role model out loud what that thinking process is. But then also ask the student to do the same. So don't just ask them what do they think and why, you know, make sure you use the word why. Why is it that you think this may be an X, Y, or Z that you're seeing presented before you? Plan time to debrief, and as you're debriefing with the individual, really highlight the process that was used to come to a clinical idea or clinical impression. And, you know, as a student, to be open to those conversations, not maybe identifying that that's an area of criticism, but an area for ongoing growth and an opportunity for improvement. So really even initiating the conversation after you see a patient, that went well because, or here's where I struggled and why, and allowing for some of that intentional time so that both learner and clinical instructor can really start to think about the next steps and how they can improve from individual client to individual client. And then certainly the literature suggests facilitating pattern recognition or concepts maps. So maybe that's not something that you do in between seeing each and every patient, but maybe that's a strategy that's used at night and presented at the end of a week or at the midterm or at a final. So what is it that you're seeing in terms of common signs and symptoms, and how are you as the clinician making that link to a certain diagnosis, and then asking student to do the same sort of mapping exercise to familiarize themselves with those patterns that for someone at the expert level or who has been practicing for a number of years, you kind of jump from A to Z, and we forget kind of what that B through X kind of looks like in that process. Certainly we would also encourage for a notation on poor performance and professionalism and communication. So these tend to be areas where in general students do well, and you saw that. They tended to rise very quickly and stay up high in terms of the level of ranking on the ACP. So if you're starting to note that on placement with a student or as your interaction with the students, not only should you comment on that to the individual student, so making sure that they're aware that you're expressing concern in terms of their performance or professional behaviors, and certainly that you would want to make a plan to make sure that those are addressed over the remainder weeks of the rotation. But as the academic programs, we would like to know about those concerns. Sometimes you are what you might think is a one-off concern, or maybe it happened once and it's not something that you feel overly concerned about because you've addressed it with the individual. We might be seeing a series of one-off patterns over the course of someone's life in the program. And so if we're aware at the academic level, then certainly we can work with the student to put plans into place to maximize successes going forward. It's really difficult at the end of a last placement to get information that then the student's not successful or is struggling, but there's not a lot that we can do at the end of a last rotation at the end of the program. Whereas if we know early on, we can put some structure and supports into place to try to help ensure the student is successful on a go-forward basis. Our other observations were that obviously working with a support personnel is important. We know that that role will expand over time, but we've also heard from many individuals on a clinical setting that they try to not allow the student to work with a support personnel because they want the student to provide the student the opportunity to do all those skills themselves. And so it's that fine balance of how do we encourage working with support personnel and engaging in the appropriate techniques of assessing knowledge, gaining feedback, but then also allowing the student to have as much hands-on opportunity as possible. And so this was certainly the area where the data was missing the most. As you saw, the total numbers decrease when they were pulled out of the graphs. But we would certainly encourage finding opportunities for that interaction during placement and then evaluating that skill, because it is an essential essential role that students will have to play as they transition to independent practice. And then the last two, I think, are always quite challenging when we're out on placement. Our gut is we want people to be successful and we want to encourage success, but we really would encourage people to trust their instinct, trust their gut, especially if you've seen a number of students over the course of your lifetime as a clinician and being a clinical instructor. If something's just not sitting right there, you know, it's not an advantage to the student, nor is it an advantage to the profession to say, well, you know, someone else will pick up the student later in their training. We're just going to pass them, partly because it may be less work for us, but partly because we think they're maybe really quite junior in terms of where their learning is. And as, you know, we're certainly here to say we would much rather know early on, again, to support chances of success going forward. And in order to do this well, you know, we would be encouraging that the student obviously knows it shouldn't be a surprise at midterm or at final that someone's not performing where you would expect them to be. So please carve out time to give the timely feedback. Document your concerns and then notify the program, because there are ways that we can facilitate success or help the student maximize their chance of success as they go forward throughout that placement and in the rest of their program. But overall, similar to what Mike highlighted in the first presentation, in general, there are only a few or a small proportion of students who are not successful on clinical rotation. So we know that students are very keen. They can motivate us in the clinical world. They keep us on our toes. They ask good questions. Why? And we have to go back and be able to articulate our clinical decision reasoning. And so we certainly think that having a student on placement will positively impact the clinical environment, but it will also challenge us to grow ourselves as a profession. And for those of you that were in Al's session at the beginning, there maybe are going to be those disruptors for us that think about how we do things maybe a little bit differently because of their knowledge and experience coming forward. So we wouldn't want someone to leave the presentation today to think, oh, you know, students might struggle and they're going to be a hindrance to our situation. In fact, we want them to be a bit of a disruptor and challenge us to think about why we're doing things the way we are. And we certainly think that they're a positive contribution to the profession as a go forward. So these are just a highlight, again, a summary of the things we talked about. One of the things that was flagged with the graph that we didn't spend time discussing in terms of a strategy is that in all three programs that were studied, the middle internship, or the one where there was the greatest disparity in terms of people who were not successful, they tended to be in a novel placement setting, which meant it might be the first time they're in an acute care environment, might be a first time they're in a rehab setting. So that may be all the more reason why we really need to carve out intentional time for clinical reasoning and debriefing in that middle placement, so in order to help that student be successful across all the roles and domains and not just in the ones that they probably would have been in successful in no matter what, so their communication and their professionalism. So certainly something to think about when you receive a student who's kind of midway through their training. So in terms of limitations, we know that this, as Brenda alluded to at the beginning, this was a pilot project to see, A, could we combine data from multiple schools? That's, to our knowledge, hasn't been done before, so we wanted to see what that would be like in terms of mulling the data. But we also know that each school has different ways of administering and communicating with their clinical instructors. So it's not a uniform data set. What we've done is tried to clean it up the best we can for consistency and for analysis purposes. But we also know that there are criteria that have been left blank. So 4.2 was highlighted. And so that gives us different numbers of students that we're looking at as we go across each of the different domains. So we're not looking at a uniform cohort of a certain N or population or sample size across the board. Going forward, we'd like to look at this across Canada now that we know that it is possible to bring the data together and see, are there trends across our physiotherapy education that we can address through curriculum or ongoing communication, and certainly work to instill methods of support as we go forward to ensure that both the clinical instructor and the student have the best chance for success in clinical education. So that's just a list of our references, and we wanted to thank everyone in the room, both students, instructors, and those mulling about being an instructor, for your work in clinical education. Certainly, we all needed placements to get to where we were as clinicians, and we couldn't do this role without the support of the community, but certainly the students are what keep us coming back and challenging us to do better in this environment every day. So thank you.
All right, that wraps up the session. Oh, you guys have questions, go for it. Do you want the mic?
Yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to know,
So we didn't look at the student-driven feedback. I assume at each of the institutions, not just at Mac, Queen's and U of T, students provide feedback either to the clinical instructor at the end or at the beginning. We didn't specifically look at that, nor did we look at the qualitative comments as Mike suggested. This was really just an exercise in seeing how the scales came together, but that would certainly be a good next step to see how students give that feedback and whether or not aligned with how the CI has delivered it and their overall success. So that's a great suggestion, but certainly not one that we did this time. Yeah, Paula.
I think I'm always thinking about working with students, but how are you finding the ACP is working with role emerging
placements? Yeah, so thank you, Paulette. Paulette is a strong supporter of placements for a long, long time, so we really appreciate that. Yeah, so the question was, how is the ACP working with role emerging placements? And maybe I'll just define what that is, because I think it's unique to some universities. So a role emerging placement is a placement in which a physiotherapy student is placed that's either non-traditional or developing a new role. So sometimes we have administrative situations where students are working on projects that are unique specifically to that placement. And so it's not, the ACP is really reflective of a clinical context in many, many situations. However, as both Brenda and Mike pointed out, it's based on the essential competencies. So regardless of where a physiotherapist is working, those skills and attributes should be applicable across the board. And sometimes the language needs to be couched or context into what your role is as a clinician in that environment. But certainly, as a program that has a number of role emerging placements with some support and some documentation, we haven't seen an issue with the ACP being used in that environment. What we know is that it is all around reframing the role to be reflective of what that clinician is doing or supervising. But that's from our end. I don't know if either of you have other thoughts or comments.
I don't have anything about that. I was going to go back to the other one.
Okay. Does that help? So I wouldn't change it, to be honest. I think it's yeah.
And just to follow up on your question about the students and the feedback, there was a research group that I had last year that just published their paper in Physiotherapy Canada that called Let's Talk About the Talk, interviewed clinicians and students about how they have that mid and final conversation, and then they concluded with 5 key points, and it's basic things like find a private space, you know, have the discussion, and so you can look at that paper to help direct that conversation a little bit more about the student-driven way to have feedback and have those discussions. Jackie. It can. It wasn't so much in the Let's Talk About the Talk work, but I think we've heard from clinicians that they would, although the site evaluation, and we've actually just we've just done a national study to revise our site evaluation, so that's the evaluation form that the students complete about their internship experience, and so we've updated that, and that's now available for the 14 schools and 15 schools in Canada. So that's something, but clinicians also told us that we know that that sets up a difficult conversation when the student's completing that and reviewing that with the clinician, right, in front of them. And I think there's a power differential that makes it really difficult for the student to provide that honest feedback. And we've heard from students that it would be, we've heard from clinicians that they value the feedback that they get from the students. So I think, I know speaking from our behalf from Toronto, I think that's something that we can do better, because we, to provide, to share that information with the clinicians in an aggregate way, in a different way. So I think that's something that we are, we've heard, and we need to look at how we do that better.
I don't know if you guys.
I think we can learn from some other programs, and I'm sure it's sure an area for improvement for us. Any other questions as we stand between you and lunch? Thank you very much. Oh, yes, please.
I just wanted to say that as a current student, it's really reassuring to see that there's so much art science going into the development of the programs like that. And I think going back to Alan McDonald's presentation, I think that's going to be really key to keep physios relevant in that environment where there's more and more people doing similar things.
Yeah, this is just the beginning. We're excited by this. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for all your work with clinical education.